our state now.
Well, welcome to the show. You're listening to Heroes of the North State, and I am Michelle Slade, your host this evening from My Umbrella Marketing. And tonight we are going to have a very informative show about a topic that affects all of us. And so if you've had questions about our cattle industry or ag in general, you're going to want to reach out to your family members and let them know to tune in to 1460 AM and 96.5 this evening, because we are here live in the studio with Shannon Wooten. And Shannon is the Shasta County Cattlemen's current president. Welcome, Shannon.
Thank you.
Thank you. And then Matt Fowler. Matt is here. He is a past president of the Shasta County Cattlemen's, but he is also one of 10 current directors.
Hello, Michelle.
Hello. Thank you for coming. And then we have Ginger Fowler, and Ginger is the treasurer and past president of the Shasta County Cattlewomen. And thank you so much, Ginger, for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
So you might be wondering, why do we have these three individuals that know so much and love so much about our cattle and our ag industry? Well, tonight we have a very important topic where that is titled Where Beef is Made versus Where Synthetic Beef is Made. The topic's not going to end there. We're gonna get involved in that conversation in detail, but we're also opening up the phone lines tonight. So if you have questions in general about the North State and the cattle industry or ag topics that we have knowledge on, this is a great opportunity to pick up the phone. So you're going to want to write this number down. It's 605-4567. We can't make it any easier. 605-4567. And Jared will take your calls. And then as opportunity arises, we'll let you say live on air what your questions are. So tonight I'm just going to start out by talking about if you have been driving down 273, there is a large billboard that was put together. And I know, Ginger, you had a lot to do with that. Maybe you could share with us what our community is able to see and what the topic's about.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having us here. This is exciting. Not very often do we get to come off the ranch and have an open dialogue with consumers, because that's really what people are. You know, they consume a product that we help grow. And so thank you very much for having us.
You're welcome.
So the billboard kind of coincides with that. We want to give the information out to people about the differences between synthetic meat and real beef. And so we did it big time with a big billboard on 273. It was a collaborative effort,
yes,
between Shasta County Cattle Women and Shasta County Cattlemen. And so we thought it was important. We saw it in Colorado for Colorado cattlemen used it. And so we wanted to have that here. We wanted to get it up in time before the fair, Shasta District Fair. So, hopefully, all the foot traffic and people that were going out to see the fair could, kind of have a conversation starter.
Right.
And, so that's why we did it. And now you give us that, opportunity to hopefully be able to answer any questions that people may have.
Well, absolutely. This is going to be a great forum for that. So for all of our listeners, just to kind of give you an idea of the content of the show. So Heroes of the North State is founded because a couple of years ago when the car fire happened, and all these amazing people just came out of the woodworks, and they made such a difference in the lives of our community members, not because they had to or were told to, just simply because they're good neighbors and it's the right thing to do. And out of that, there were a lot of ranches that were affected. There were a lot of cattlemen, cattlewomen, families who had just small farms who were affected. And I'll tell you, the walk of life in our ag industry, well, our entire community is like this, but you really see people step up and make a difference. So with that, the reason I mention that is we start talking about, well, where is beef made? Well, I think we all see them on the side of the road, but there's so much more than that. So do any one of you want to kind of elaborate on that? I know, Shannon, you've been in the beef industry, cattle industry, your whole life, I believe.
Pretty much our whole life.
I think one of the things that we stress to do is genetics. And we're trying to build the cattle herd to be the most efficient, most reproductive, and at the end of the line, the best in the weight class. That's what we're trying to do. And, of course, there's a lot of other factors, gentleness and all this, and things that go into that. But quality sells. And that's right. What I think most of the people in the no state are trying to do is the quality. Without it, you're not going to get a very good price. And right now, none of us are getting a very good price. And there's a lot of reasons. I think that stems from imports. And then a little bit of this imitation meat that's coming on is another thing that's a little bit difficult to compete with.
Mm-hmm.
We need to look at that real closely. Because I think when you really look at your imitation meat and look what's in it, I saw a quote from a person that said, if you cannot pronounce what you read, the ingredients in it, you probably shouldn't eat it.
Yeah.
So I think that's a very good point. And there's a lot of other things from the creation of the DNA start and everything else. That's beyond me because that's getting scientific.
Yeah.
But there's some other people here. I think Ginger can speak to that. Matt can speak to that also.
Okay.
But I think we need to draw attention really what is in the imitation meat, which is one of our biggest competitors right now besides imports. So I'll turn it over to Ginger if she wants to talk a little bit about that.
Well, to go off of what you said, I liked what you said. We give a quality product.
Right.
And we're passionate about that. Anybody who's been in this industry for a long time, in order to sustain it, you have to have a good product. So fake meat is not a nutrient-dense food, like what Shannon was saying. And in fact, it contains ingredients that are very harmful and can be very harmful. So I think there's a couple different, there's synthetic meats, and then there's plant-based meat. So if we're talking about synthetic meat, that's the meat that's created in a petri dish. And they want to say that that will help the environment, the synthetic way of producing meat.
Right.
Because there will be less cows that affect the environment. And we could speak to that, too, later. But what they do not maybe recognize is that you still need the cells from a bovine mm-hmm. in order to produce synthetic meat. It's not cost effective,
right.
Not yet. It takes a lot of money because it takes a lot of time in order to produce it. And I want to be careful with the terminology that I use.
Yes.
But to be, to be frank, they take the blood from a calf in order to create the synthetic meat to produce it. So you still need that bovine.
Right. So then in that case, can you truly say that it's completely
ethical? No, I wouldn't think so. You know, if you're choosing not to eat beef on an ethical basis, no. I would say you eat plant-based. You know, buy a veggie burger. Don't buy synthetic meat.
Right.
And let's get that straight, too. It's not synthetic beef, no matter how hard they try to make it. Well, I actually just take that back, because now that I'm thinking about it, you have to take the blood from the calf, right, Shannon?
That's
so
right.
It would be beef. And quite frankly, today I just read, because I was brushing up on it before I came in here, the USDA now...
Right.
Is going to regulate synthetic meat. Well, why would USDA regulate it if it's not considered beef?
Right.
So they can't try to market it as non-beef,
right?
I guess. But so why wouldn't you want the ethical treatment of that animal? I know Shannon's family has been in the cattle industry since, I think we're the two longest families probably in Shasta
right.
County. So what year...
1862.
Oh, you beat us. We're 1897. So, but you couldn't have that long-standing, help me out, Shannon. You can't have that long-standing return
right.
customer if you're not passionate about raising and treating your animals ethically and taking care of your ground.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So we want to talk a lot more about that, but we are, and thank you both of you, getting ready to go into a commercial break. So when we come back, we're going to learn more about what makes quality beef and do a, just kind of a comparison with that. So, we'll be back in just a moment. You are listening to Heroes of the North State, and I'm Michelle Slade with My Umbrella Marketing, and we'll be back shortly. I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew with this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today we're sharing Perez Carrillo Trilogy. This gift set is the pinnacle of years tirelessly dedicated to the perfection of cigars. Rating 95, 96, and 98 by Cigar Aficionado, these three cigars have put Ernesto Perez Carrillo at the top of the industry. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The View, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
This is the best of North State Now.
Well, welcome back to the studio. I'm Michelle Slade, and you're listening to Heroes of the North State. And it is 1460 AM and 96.5 FM on your dial. So if you know someone who would want to hear about tonight's topic, which is where beef is made versus where synthetic beef is made, this is a great time to text them or give them a quick call and say, hey, tune in. You're going to learn a lot because we have three experts in the field here tonight sharing with us about their passion. You can hear it in their voice and in our comments, and about their knowledge. I mean, they're here. I don't even want to pretend to know even how to form the questions. So, we have Matt Fowler. Matt is here. He is a past president of the Shasta County Cattlemen, but he is a current, director of the Shasta County Cattlemen. And so we were talking on the break a little bit about the difference with synthetic and the Petri dish. And I was like, it was just amazing information. So I want to give Matt, I want to give you this opportunity to kind of elaborate on that for those that maybe are just learning about what that process is.
Well, the exact process is pretty complicated, and I'm not, you know, a complete expert with that whole process. But when you look at the two leading, I guess you classify them as alternatives now. You have the plant-based, and then you have, you know, the synthetic. You know, they both are being kind of produced for two different reasons, but both, for instance, the plant-based, everybody claims, well, this is going to be more healthy. And I would completely disagree with that. The product that cattle producers are putting out today is in, you know, packed with, you know, protein. That steak is such a small, compact, protein-packed little, you know, packet of energy right there.
Right.
Then when you look at the synthetic, the claim is that we're going to save the planet. We're going to save the environment. You know, we're not going to, you know, the cattle are bad for the planet. And you even watch commercials like that. And that really infuriates me. My background just a little bit is different than Shannon and Ginger. I was not raised in the cattle industry. I married into it. Okay. And so my background is more science. And so I look at, I have this tendency of looking at everything with a very broad scope. So, for instance, this whole idea with, you know, with climate change, carbon footprints, things like that. And that's one of the pushes that they will move towards to get rid of the cattle. They say cattle is bad for the planet. And if you want to just talk even carbon footprint, yeah. I love to really, really investigate an entire true, look at everything about that carbon footprint. Mm-hmm. Because people don't do that. People just say, oh, I see this one thing that it does and maybe that's bad. And, you know, when they talk about cows, for instance, now, it's methane production and it's going to cause climate change. And I can get into a whole argument about that where I'm not a big proponent of, you know, man-made climate change that we're going to destroy the planet that in 10 years we're all going to be underwater. But let's just assume that we have a carbon footprint that you can actually attribute to every product that's out there.
Right.
When you look at beef cattle, the good that ranchers do, the land management practices mm-hmm. that they do. Like I said, I married into this, and I got to see this firsthand. We kind of joke at home that you know, ranchers, they're the first environmentalists. They were environmentalists before environmentalism was cool. You
exactly.
know? And so when you look at what the cattle producers give back, the management of land. A cow is like a factory. It's like a little machine. It's incredible, the efficiency of this thing. It can take grasses that we as humans can't digest. Mm-hmm. It will take those. It reduces fire danger. It cleans up the, you know, the ground. It can do this in areas that you cannot grow traditional crops, by the way.
Yeah.
Most of where we ranch is hilly. It's rocky. That you can't grow crops there. So you can't just say, well, your cow is getting in the way of my, you know, other farming production. It can't, that doesn't work that way. So this package is incredible because what it actually gives back just through the management, just through, you know, the cutting down on fire hazards, the aeration of soil. Mm-hmm. If you look at pictures, I've looked at pictures from Ginger's family's ranch that are 60, 70, 80-year-old pictures, and things look the same now as they did then.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And I'll tell you what, that land is managed so much better than, I'll just say it, public lands that get ignored. And so when you look at the entire package, the entire carbon footprint of a cow, I think that it is a far greater benefit than anything that it might produce that you might say, oh, this, you know, this is a harmful gas. That it is doing so much good, and ranchers, I think, do so much good. And I've gotten to see this, I think, from the outside in.
Right, yeah.
You know, I used to be just a consumer. Now I'm a producer. Trust me, I'm still a consumer. So I still love my steak. But, you know, so when you look at the entire package, I'm convinced that they do far more good than anything you could ever point to that would be a detriment.
So can I just
jump right in
for a second? So full disclosure, that's my husband. He's a teacher, too. So you could see he's a teacher.
He's passionate. I love it.
Well, he goes on and on.
I go on, yeah.
That's good.
I guess I do, too. So who can get a word in edgewise? But so I'm going to put you on the spot, mm-hmm. Matt. I had a quote that I read today, and it says, one of the best and most simple things we can do on rangeland to help mitigate climate change is to conserve rangeland ecosystems and keep the carbon that's already stored in rangeland soils safely stored there. What does that mean to you when it says to keep the carbon safely stored in the soil?
To keep the carbon, well, I'm not exactly sure as far as keeping it stored in the soils. The carbon, oftentimes carbon dioxide, for instance, is released with decomposition. So mm-hmm. when you have, you know, either vegetation dying or if, for instance, fires and it's burning, mm-hmm. that carbon's released.
Mm-hmm.
If you have proper management of that land, mm-hmm. You're going to release far less.
So is there greenhouse gas in all the fires that are going on?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, you have two main gases that they refer to. That's carbon dioxide, and then you have methane. The problem they have oftentimes with the cows is the methane. But the carbon dioxide, and from what I've read as well, carbon dioxide is a far greater fear as far as because it's much more prominent. Even though methane gets a bad rap. But as far as what you're saying, as far as the soil and the plants deal with carbon dioxide aspect to it.
Mm-hmm. So we have a caller on the line. So mm-hmm. Dr. Danuka is calling in. So Dr. Danuka, welcome and to the show. And what is your question?
Michelle, thank you for the show. It's very interesting. I am not an expert in beef industry, but I am a connoisseur for tasting it, grilling it, and enjoying it.
good to hear.
Right. Well, I have a beef with a fake beef.
All right.
Oh, good.
I love it.
I like the way you put that.
So the number one question I have for your experts is, number one, what I have read, how they produce the fake beef using the fungi and different enzymes, my impression is it's going to be extremely energy intensive. So the very claim that it reduces the total CO2 output or net output is zero or less, or that I find it very suspicious.
I agree with you.
So some light on that. That's one question that, you know, has anyone done, like, let's say electric car versus gas car. Does the electric car really save CO2 production? Let's just assume that, yeah, it's good for it. How much is it good for
right.
it?
Right.
So that's one question, compared to the real beef versus fake beef. Is there really a CO2 reduction, number one? Number two, can you highlight how the federal or the state regulations and subsidies are undermining the real cattle industry for us, especially given the fact that our rural community is dependent on it economically? And the third, what will it do to the food security to the people who are already on the margin in future if we destroy our cattle industry chasing the fake beef? So I'll take my questions, answers offline, if that's okay with you.
Well, I might be able to address just the first one, do the best I can anyways.
Okay, perfect.
Just referring to, you know, will there be really a CO2 reduction with the fake beef? And I'm glad Dr. Danuka brought that question up, because that's kind of what I was getting at earlier. I look at the whole package when they talk carbon footprint.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me, I have not looked into what all is, how intensive this is going to be, but I have to believe this is going to be a very intensive process. And right. when you look at how much energy it takes to produce something fake,
mm-hmm.
and then you look at, okay, it's going to take some energy to make something real, but what's going to be your better outcome, and why would you put a huge amount of energy into producing something that is artificial in the first place?
Right.
When you have such a perfect product, that perfect package, that perfect machine already built.
Right.
It's already there.
Right. You know, I can't speak to this, but I can put the question out there. Money.
Yeah.
You know,
I can see that.
It's probably backed by large amounts of money. I had read where just a little while ago, where Bill Gates was saying he wanted all the large cities to be 100% synthetic, and there's a lot of investment involved in that.
Sure.
So, Dr. DeNuca, first of all, thank you for calling in. And regarding your second question, we will definitely get back with you on that, and we appreciate it. But for the sake of time, we'll go ahead and move forward a little bit. So I wanted to come back, if you don't mind, and talk with Shannon Wooten about our local cattle and our local ranches, and just your involvement and what you've seen over the years. Has it changed? Is it the same? I'm kind of putting you on the spot with that, but if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit of your background.
Well, I think just talking quality is number one, because genetics have played a huge role in the evolution of where we are today, I think. And the cattle seem to finish a little bit quicker.
And tell our listeners what that means.
Well, finish means the finished product prior to butchering.
Okay.
And so they're not quite yearling cattle, close, but not quite. And some are, depending on what size you want them to be. But genetics plays a huge role. And you can break that down then from the different genetics, the different breeds of cattle. You can get into your natural, your grass-fed, your grain-fed, your non-hormone implants.
Yes.
It's just the direction. It's marketing. It's an itch in the marketing is what it is. And so it depends on the direction you want. Your implants speed your growth up a little bit, adds probably 10% weight to them. But then some of the packers don't want to do that. If you're into the export market, they don't want implanted cattle. And
okay.
So you advertise your herd as non-implanted cattle. So then that attracts a different group of buyers that will pick those cattle up, finish them, and then they can do an export market on them. Your natural is grass-fed, basically. You don't pour the antibiotics to them. Most of us use antibiotics to heal a bacterial type disease, foot rot, pink eye, and such like that. Very minimal, because we can't afford to load them with antibiotics. It
right.
just costs too much money. And especially in today's world, because we're seeing prices today that haven't been as low in 10 years. And everything else is high.
Yeah.
So we have to be real careful about what we do as far as the inputs in trying to get these cattle to market.
Right. I think that's a misconception that we want to load them up. It's the opposite. We want to keep them as healthy as possible
right.
so that we don't have to.
Yeah. And I think there's a huge disconnect right now between what people perceive as us making a lot of money, because when they go to buy beef in the market, the average price today is $7.99 for all cuts of beef.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're talking from the top to the bottom.
Mm.
And so if you look at that, we get a dollar or a little bit more than that of the $7.99.
Wow.
And it's pretty sad. And it's all in transportation, it's feeding. And the biggest price setters are the four biggest packers in the United States.
Yeah.
Two of them are foreign owned.
Mm.
So we're allowing ourselves now to get into this field that's not very comfortable.
Right.
And it is very difficult to negotiate that. And there's a whole lot of things I don't understand. They buy cattle on contract instead of open market. I don't quite understand quite all that.
Yeah.
And then imports, again, plays a huge role in that market.
Okay.
And so we are price takers, not price setters.
Hmm.
And so that's
good
our
point.
Biggest problem right now.
So, and all of you, we could just sit and probably just talk about that the entire hour, but we're going to take another quick break. Thank you for listening to all of you out there. I'm Michelle Slade, and you're listening to Heroes of the North State, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Summer takes flight at Turtle Bay's Wings of Summer Butterfly Exhibit, open June 19th through August 15th. Experience hundreds of butterflies in a tranquil and enclosed garden. Access is free for Turtle Bay members and included with park admission. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Since 1890, Stifel has established itself as one of the nation's leading wealth management and investment banking firms by understanding clients' hopes and dreams, focusing on building and preserving wealth. Simply put, when you achieve your goals, we achieve ours. I'm proud to be a part of Stifel as a financial advisor. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments. Call today for quality time well spent. 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think.
You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Reading and get a professional paint job and save big. With their $4.99 special, Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident? And find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop it at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
Cinerama presents Brews by the Bridge at Turtle Bay Exploration Park on Friday, August 13th. Join us at the Sundial Bridge for this 21 and over event featuring craft beers, live music, tasty food, and more. Get your tickets today at the Turtle Bay Museum or online at turtlebay.org.
This is the best of North State Now.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Michelle Slade, and tonight our guests are Shannon Wooten with the Shasta County Cattlemen. He is the current president, and Matt Fowler is our past president of the Shasta County Cattlemen, but also one of the 10 directors that are currently serving. And then, of course, Ginger Fowler is our treasurer and past president of the Shasta County Cattlewomen. And, you know, tonight has just been a great conversation about real beef versus synthetic beef. And we had a call in a little bit ago. And, in fact, if you want that number, it's 605-4567. If you have questions and you'd like to ask these experts, please do so. Dr. Danuka had called in, and he had asked a question about undermining and the security of beef. And I think this next question might actually touch on that a little bit for Dr. Danuka. We know we need a competitive marketplace. And so with that, I mean, that's a wide open statement in itself. Who is comfortable addressing that topic? Shannon?
Well, I think right now there's a bill that's been, we thought had been introduced into cross in the Congress. It's called the Grassy Tester Rounds Bill, and addresses anti-competitive practices in the meat processing industry. There's been a lot of work put into this bill, and it creates a need to purchase 50% of the beef that is put into the market by auctions, which is called the open market. The rest of it is contract, and then there's an import factor in there too. And so then that would create a little bit more competitive in the auctions and would give us a better chance to get a little bit more money for our cattle. Now, one of the things that I think we should address a little bit on this imported cattle, we as producers, in order to administer an antibiotic to any cattle for anything, we have to get a prescription from a veterinary. The veterinary has to have seen our cattle in order to do the prescription. Now, this imported beef, we have no idea what has been given to them, anything. And so that, to me, is a little bit of an undermine in the quality of the supply of the beef. If they're worried about antibiotics and they're worried about quality, then the imports come in and they're stamped product of the United States. And that's not right.
Correct.
We can't
Sorry, can I interject?
Yeah, Ginger, go on that.
No, well, he says go on that because we're pretty passionate about that. Because
yes, he is.
You know, well, in this day and age, we want to know where our food is grown.
Right.
We've heard farmer to fork or farmer to table.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you not want your beef? Why would you not want to know where your beef is coming from? You assume, like Shannon said, that it's going to be a product of the USA or product.
Right.
Yeah, product of the USA.
Yep.
It is not. That's
right.
Misleading. The reason they could label it that is because it was brought here and harvested here.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be born in another country. They could import it. So what they do is they import it very cheaply, harvest it here, and they could slap that label on it. If it says product of the USA, it doesn't mean that it was born, or should I say, bred, born, and raised here.
Right.
It was just harvested here. So you want to look for the label that says made in the United States or made in America.
Okay.
That means it was born, bred, raised, harvested here in the United States.
Hmm.
So I think we're pretty passionate about that because, you know, we are like everybody else. We want to know where our food comes from.
Right.
We are secure in telling you that we will give you a good product because that's really what we do. We raise food. We want to make sure it's healthy, sustainable for the environment, and we do that. And so that's why I really encourage callers to call today because if you have any kind of questions, the only way that we could hopefully shed some light on this is to have you engage with us and ask questions. And that's why, again, we're thankful that you can have us here. And I don't mean to cut you off, Shannon.
No.
I said Matt was the talker in the family. I guess I am. But, you know, it's really hard when you're trying to combat media and false narratives about our industry. And we have, you know, our job is in the field. We can't sit there at the computer all day or sit there in front of the TV all day or the computer and see what's going on constantly. So usually what triggers us is we hear a commercial.
Uh-huh.
Matt talked about that earlier. I think the synthetic beef has a commercial or I don't even know what they're called. The Impossible Burger.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's impossible, all right, to make something plant-based and call it a burger.
Right.
You know, call it vegetarian. That's what it is. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, let the consumer know. Don't try to pass it off as something it's not.
Yeah.
So just like getting back to what Shannon said.
A lot of misleading advertising going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, think about the chemicals you'd have to put in that burger in order to make it actually have the flavor.
Of the burger.
So there's a lot of misleading advertising.
Right. Mm.
So if you are wanting to call in and you missed the number, it's 605-4567. Again, that's 605-4567. Feel free to call in. We've got about 15 minutes left in the show. And then, Shannon, we cut you off. Was there more that you wanted to share on that topic?
I'd like to revert back just a little bit. At one time, we had country of origin lay on the label. We had that. So that you could differentiate between Canadian meat, Mexican beef, Brazilian beef, and U.S. beef. But the four packers beat that down because they didn't want you to get some imported beef that wasn't good and then you wouldn't buy it anymore.
Whole
thing. They wanted to generically put it all in here and let you figure out whether you liked it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know quite why we lost it when we had it at one point in time.
Right. Yeah. No, that's a really good point. So,
and that's what that tester bill that you were referring to earlier, Shannon, is trying to bring back around.
Right. Part of that is to bring back that country of origin labeling. Yes.
It's called COOL. So, for anybody who's listening, demand your beef to have that label, to have country of origin labeling back on our beef, so we know where it's coming from. You know, so it's fully transparent.
Right. So how does somebody demand that? What would be the process, do you know, off the top of your head? I mean, is it something that we take to, you know, come to the cattlemen's meeting and tell us what your concerns are and we'll find the right avenue to direct it?
Well, I think if anyone is in contact with the representative or the senators, that's a place to go and place your emphasis on the support of Grassley Bill, which would bring back the COOL.
Yeah, okay. It has to be legislated. So Yeah, you have to
legislate.
Right. Yeah. Local farm bureaus do that as well. Yep. So collectively.
Well, and it gets back to that. Well, and I'm going to go back to the caller that we had. It gets back to the whole idea of food security. You want to know where your food's coming from. Mm-hmm. You want to know that it's actually met those strict guidelines that we have here in the United States versus other countries.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we are going to, man, this time is just flying by. I feel like we've just barely even touched the surface on a lot of these topics. So we're going to go ahead and take another commercial break. When we come back, it's going to be our last opportunity for our callers to call with any concerns or thoughts. I think oftentimes we open the phone up, but they're getting their questions answered just by this conversation. So 605-4567 is the number to call, and you are listening to Heroes of the North State, and we'll be right back.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Summer is upon us, and we all know what that means. Lots of summertime fun. Spend at the lake, by the pool, or off on adventures to your favorite waterfall or floating down the river. Servicing your vehicle is last on the list, but we all know it has to be done. Let Premier Oil Change save you time and money with their easy drive-in service. No appointment needed. Wait in the comfort of your own car, enjoy a cold beverage, and before you know it, you'll be off to your next summertime adventure, knowing that your car is summertime ready. Earn reward points for every dollar you spend, which can be redeemed for an oil change, additional services, and other great rewards. With free fluid top-offs, free check engine light inspections, free Wi-Fi, and a free car wash, you are sure to leave refreshed. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit them in Palisadro in the Holiday Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard near Waterworks Park. And don't forget Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
This is the best of North State Now.
Welcome back to the show. We are live here in the studio with open phones. 605-4567 is the number to call. And, you know, we're sitting here and we're talking during the breaks, and that's, you know, how just conversations just bring up thoughts. And, you know, something, Matt had said is, oftentimes we talk in conversation of why are we heading in the wrong direction. And so, Matt, you want to kind of elaborate a little bit on that thought?
Well, it just seems, you know, for a while there, you know, we were moving kind of more natural, and that still is a large market. But I just think that it's so ironic now that we're moving more back into a synthetic. We want synthetic products when we have this perfect natural, you know, I hate to even call it alternative. This is, this is the foundation. And I think that also gets back to the idea of food security too. Do we really want corporations being in charge of our food?
Yeah.
We want some, do we want a company that has to go through a huge process, has to, you know, the amount of energy to put into it just to make our food, or do we want the natural way that food is produced?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just, yeah, you're right. It's just nature's.
Right.
It's just nature.
Right.
So, you know, we were talking a little bit about, the pricing in the beef industry, and the crop report came up, that's out right now, Shasta County Crop Report. And where'd beef rank on that?
It was in the 2019 crop report. It was second on the crop report, bringing in $23 million for Shasta County.
Wow.
I mean, you know, that's what it grossed.
Wow. Okay. So
it's a very large chunk of the agricultural market in Shasta County.
Yeah, absolutely. Do either of you want to kind of elaborate on that as far as, you know, the important, I mean, it's important, obviously, for our community. It's not just the beef industry, but it's everything associated to that.
Well, I think you touched on two things, importance and also synthetic, and that brought something to my mind. In the medical world, all of us have known of a person with diabetes, or we have relatives with diabetes that's on insulin. You can't synthetically make insulin. It comes from the pancreases of cattle. And so if you, let's just say, for hypothetical reasoning, we do away with cattle, then you've got to call somebody that's a diabetic, so guess what? You're going to die.
Yeah.
And so we can't do away with cattle. They have an important part of our life, and that's just one little segment of the medical world that they play a big role in. There's lots of others. And so we really can't do without cattle.
Right.
I think that's a good point, too. We've been talking about beef, but there's byproducts of the whole bovine that are important, like what Shannon just shared. Yeah. So, and that could be a whole other topic that could take a while, too.
Yeah, exactly. I'll have to have you guys come back, and we'll talk more about that.
Well, and that adds to the whole package of what these produce and the good that they do.
Right. Absolutely. So, you know, the name of the show is Heroes of the North State, and I quickly found out that when you put heroes in the title, then people go, oh, I'm not a hero, which is the whole idea. It's the unsung heroes. But the three of you are sitting here. You are definitely unsung heroes because you're part of a bigger picture for our community. You volunteer all of your time in the cattlemen and the cattlewomen's groups. And so let's talk a little bit about that, if you wouldn't mind. I know, Ginger, you've been part of the cattlewomen. Do you know off the top of your head for how long?
Yes, I joined in 1996.
Wow.
For the cattlewomen. And then, it's a while.
So what do the cattlewomen do in like a short little elevator pitch?
They do a ton. Women get it done.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I have to say that our organizations, the Shasta County Cattlemen, because I'm the treasurer for the cattlemen and past president for the cattlewomen, but our organizations work very well together, and our role as Shasta County Cattlewomen is to support the beef industry through our labor and finances. That's part of our creed.
Okay.
But also the cattle producer. So we are there to support the cattle producer in Shasta County. So in whatever way that may be, whether that's to inform the public, to raise awareness of the importance of the cattle industry, to highlight beef cuts, you know, or new recipes, or anything like that is really the role of cattlewomen. And it's been fun. You know, it really has been fun to be a part of an organization like that. And it really has run the gamut of ages, which is what I really like about cattlewomen. You have young ones and you have older ones. I think our oldest member is 94.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
well, you know, I've learned that ranchers and farmers, they have long lifespans. I have met so many who are still in their late 80s and 95 tilling. They're out still in the field working their cows and riding their ATVs and their horses. So, Yeah, I just think that's amazing. And they're not eating anything synthetic.
No.
So,
that's right.
Well,
so,
the cattle women are really involved with the kids.
Yes.
Quite a bit. If you go to the fair and they have the Red Barn, that's the Shasta County Cattlemen, Cattlewomen Red Barn. Mm-hmm. They're doing all kinds of things for the kids, the livestock kids.
Yeah, the youth, yeah. Shannon could
touch on that. And the cattle women do a great amount of work for the cattle men, too.
There you go.
When we need something, we call the cattle women.
We all need support.
And it gets done.
So let's talk about the cattle men. So what would you say is your primary role or function as a group?
Well, we're pretty proud. We do several scholarships through the year, and then we have a motor program that we loan kids money to buy steers that can't, because they're pretty expensive. So we do it's about $1,350 per person. And so they're able to get that money, buy a steer, take it to the fair, sell, and when they pay us back. Last year we had 8. This year it was a little bit less. Mm-hmm. But it's a very, very good program. It's in memory of Steve Moeller, and mm-hmm. that was one of his driving forces. He wanted to create a fund so that he could help kids get some animals into the fair, and it's still working.
And I think it's a big misconception that in order to be part of the Junior Livestock Auction that you have to be part of an ag family or a ranching family. I've met a lot of young kids out there who heard about it through school and live in apartments, and they have this opportunity to go and do something they may never get to experience.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
So how are these groups funded? How does this work? So the cattlemen, cattlewomen, so you're a volunteer organization. Mm-hmm. There's a membership fee. I think it's very minimal. Let's talk about what that looks like, because we're always looking for members, because we all know there's power in numbers. So the more people that we have who join, the bigger the voice we have.
Well, and the dues is quite minimal. It's at set right now, $25 per year. But most of what we get is through donations from individuals. And they're very, very good. The membership's very good about donating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's what created the Steve Moeller Fund and some other ones. And so the cattlemen will and cattlewomen will open their wallets and really donate to different projects.
Very generous.
Right.
And so
that's what they're
doing. And the cattlemen and Shannon was instrumental in starting what we call the Issues Fund.
Mm-hmm.
And the cattlemen get very involved with legislation too.
Okay.
They're in constant contact with, you know, the local legislators, state, federal.
Yeah.
When bills come up, it's always a topic at our meetings.
Yeah. I would say, because I attend those meetings, big disclaimer, I'm a member of both groups. And, yes, I am a cattle woman who's a member of the cattlemen.
Yep,
so,
right.
Well, I go to the meetings. I feel like I need to have some input. But I learn more from all of you than I ever have, honestly, just in the past couple of years. So I would just like to encourage our listeners or viewers, if you don't know a lot about these two organizations, go to their websites, Shasta Cattle Cattlemen's and Shasta Cattle Cattlewomen's. And there's great information on there about who they are and how they serve our community. You could be part of it. You can, we're looking to grow our youth. I know we've talked about that in the last meeting.
Can I quickly say that our websites are being kind of redone? So if they could, for Shasta County Cattlemen, if they could follow us on Facebook and reach out to us that way.
Perfect.
Our meetings are every fourth Tuesday of the month. Right. Shannon, do you want to?
Yeah, our next meeting is July 27th, and will probably be held at
Humble Joe's.
Yes. Talk about brain dead.
No.
That was a bad one.
No.
Humble Joe's in Anderson.
Yeah.
And it usually starts, dinner starts at 6:30. It's a non-hosted dinner, and then our meeting starts at 7.
Please come down.
I know we are looking to start a membership drive. We only have a minute left, so we're going to have to go, but I want to thank you all again. And I'd like to encourage our listeners, please, to call with information. And if you just are thinking about becoming a member, this is a great opportunity. Again, Shannon, thank you for coming.
Thank
Matt,
you.
Ginger. This show is recorded, so you can visit My Umbrella Marketing for a recorded show and also go to KCNR and click on Archives. Share it, like it, send it out to all your friends. Help us spread the word about real beef versus synthetic beef and how it's made. And we thank you for joining us. We'll be back again next month.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.